Welcome to Overtures. This episode felt so cozy and healing, and at the end of the theater audition season, I felt this episode was incredibly topical for all theater artists, not just those on the performance side. Theater burnout is real, and it all comes back to self-care. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats, and we'll be starting shortly. Everyone, hello, hello, welcome to Overtures. Happy to have you here. Hope everyone's doing well on this beautiful Friday. It's been a little second since we've gotten to chat. Apologies for that. Things in life have just been busy and crazy, but I'm excited to be back and talking to more lovely, lovely guests. While I was gone, I got to see Fat Ham on Broadway. This cup makes me so happy. I've probably mentioned that I got to see it when it was at the Public last summer, but it was so, so exciting to get to see it on Broadway. For those who know me and my Villanova University background, playwright James Imes was one of my professors at Villanova, and he's incredible and wrote this beautiful Black queer retelling of Hamlet, and it won the Pulitzer Prize and now is on Broadway, which is absolutely crazy and so insane. So I proudly rep this cup and also go see it. It's really, really awesome. And yeah, I'm just so proud, and it's absolutely hysterical. So like, you have no reason not to go. But yeah, with that, we'll go ahead and get started on this episode. This is episode 64 of Overtures. My guest today has recently started a new endeavor into the global event management industry and is loving every second of it. She's a Southern California native and a 2022 Wagner College Arts Administration and Dance graduate. She just completed her 200-hour yoga teacher certification, embroiders for her Etsy page, and enjoys being in nature during her free time. We only got to share 1 year together at school, but boy, did we get to work alongside each other quite a bit during that year. I'm so happy to have her on, and it's going to be so lovely to catch up. So without further ado, this is Kayla Morgan. Hi.
Hello.
So happy.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining and being willing to hop on with the time difference and all. But yeah. How are you doing today?
Of course. I'm doing well. It's been a slow Friday, but that's how we like it.
That's kind of a nice ease into the weekend.
I've been looking forward to that. It's been a very, very busy year. So I think this is starting to have the weekends where I actually have time to go do things I want to do.
What a concept. Nice. That's lovely. Are you doing a lot of remote work, work from home, or are you going into offices and things like that? Oh, okay. Nice.
Only work from home on the day to day, but then I travel for work. So
you get a little bit of the best of both worlds in a way.
Yes, definitely. It definitely is the best of both worlds, not having to have the true office culture, but still getting to go
after how many people. After how many hours of doing you're commuting into the city for your senior internship and things like that, I'm sure it's nice to have a break of I'd just open up my laptop and get ready for work.
Yeah, my commute is 30 seconds from my bed to my laptop now,
as opposed to an hour and a half
both ways. Yeah. Yep. Don't miss that.
Ferry and subway travel. So crazy.
The stories.
I bet. And I love to always say how do I know my guest? And today it was through our lovely alma mater, Wagner College. And you were just a wee little freshman. I was a senior, which is crazy because now you're fully graduated and a working professional.
Yeah. I can't believe it's so funny how that works.
It really is. It's insane. And I'm trying to think. I don't think we had any classes together due to the fact we were senior and freshman. Yeah. Yeah. But we were on the theater advisory board together, which was such a beautiful time and a beautiful year.
It was. I loved being on the board with you. Good energy.
So much fun. Such good energy. Also, that first year was such fun energy because it was all gals. And then our lovely friend Ian, And
Tap which Girls was, and Ian too.
Which was so fun because for those who don't know Wagner, every year for audition day, we would get shirts that would be in reference to essentially the most recent Broadway show, but we would include theater advisory board and it would be in the logo. So they had done like Hades Tab in the past and done like Hamel Tab. And we did Tab Girls, and we did that because we realized that Ian, one of our lovely freshman reps, we could put on the back and Ian too, much like Damien in Mean Girls. So it all worked out. I love that shirt still. I think it's hilarious.
It was epic. I still wear it. So
what were some of the other ones you guys came up with later on?
You know, last year we did six, but we just did Tab with the crown on it.
It worked.
I thought that one was pretty fun. Yeah. I was like, this is it just looked cool, you know?
Yeah.
And then we did an I Love Tab for our little pandemic year because
yeah.
Broadway wasn't really
there wasn't new shows. Yeah.
So we were like, we love Tab.
Yeah. We love that's it. That's all you need to know.
Which was always said at every meeting. So
it's true.
It paid off
tribute in the end.
To our meetings.
Absolutely.
It did pay off.
And I don't know if you knew this, but our year on Tab together was not only your first year, but my first year on Tab as well.
I remember this.
Yeah, because I hadn't done it yet. And then I got to be a senior rep my senior year, which was so, so fun. What made you want to join Theater Advisory Board at Wagner as a freshman?
You know, I like being part of leadership and administrative things. So in high school, I was really involved with like our drama club. I was like, this seemed like the most comparable thing to that. And I just loved this sense of community. I was an arts administration major, so I also wanted to advocate for arts admin students because there weren't as many of us. So that was a big thing for me. And I just wanted to meet other people and connect with the other classes. And yeah, I mean, more came along in my years of like what I wanted to do and like what our role was on campus. Yeah. And it really is whatever you want to make it. But having a team of people who all, like, once you establish that goal, having a team of people to work towards that goal can be whatever you want. It can change. It can evolve. So I really loved the beauty of learning that throughout my time with it, too.
Yeah, and you got to meet so many people so quickly as a freshman, which was really awesome and beautiful. And then you went on to do many more years with Tab. You went all 4 years, right?
I did. Yes.
What all positions do you
have? Crazy 4 years.
Yes.
So freshman and sophomore year, Ian and I were our reps, which was really fun. Ian and I are a little dynamic duo.
Absolutely.
And. And then after that, I transitioned into the vice president role. And that was a little strange because I was doing that from California. That was junior year.
Was junior year? Oh, okay. No, that's okay.
Yes. Yeah. So junior year, I was vice president. And I was doing it part of the year from California while most of the team was still in New York.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was trying as best I could. We were all just trying to do whatever we could. Workshops online. I was coordinating a lot of those and still just like trying to create experiences for the people without obviously being unsafe. And then senior year went as president. So that was a lot of work, especially
because
I didn't
crazy.
Feel like I got to shadow really as much.
Right.
And it was just a whole different structure. So we did a lot of fun stuff. We had some great workshops, great fundraisers, Bacefa, as always.
We love our Broadway Cares.
We love Broadway Cares, volunteering. Mm-hmm. Trying to think what else I did.
Feels you like guys like fully organized the Wagner College audition day. Also showcased like some crazy big stuff to have to put together.
Yes, like I enjoyed that. Like, I felt like that was more of my schoolwork than my schoolwork sometimes. And then I honestly learned more about leadership and coordination and team building through that. So we took on more advocate roles, I guess you can say,
through the pandemic.
Student year, really trying to communicate with the department heads, like, hey, this is what the students are feeling, or from the department heads being like, hey, this is what leadership is feeling, trying to like really do that middleman to make a collaborative space, which has its challenges, obviously, but kind of transitioned more into that role. With the board. So many
things to be proud of. Was there any like particular project that you were just like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Honestly, like that whole second semester senior year, from doing all of the audition day stuff to the end of senior showcase, I was like, yeah, I felt like our team was just, it was working. There was a good flow. There was good communication. And I think that's where I also just discovered that, hey, like, I like to plan events. I like to plan parties. Yeah. I like to get people together. So it brought some self-discovery in there too, which I love. Yeah.
And when that leads perfectly into like my next question, because I was going to ask, and granted, but this is a little leading to begin with, but did working on TAB end up impacting your career goals and help you with where you wanted to be now?
Absolutely. I definitely made TAB my beast and in a good way. And it definitely helped me build the skills to where I am. When I first graduated, I thought I wanted to do company management. Yeah. I was like, this is my path. Like, I think this is what I want to do. And I thought that was pretty comparable because it's people managing. You're absolutely doing contracts, which we would do sometimes with TAB and the equity deputies, or thinking more along the lines of travel, trying to book things and get one part of the step to the next part of the step, like making sure things are moving and flowing. So I guess I'm kind of going off on a little tangent here.
No, that's okay.
I realized company management really wasn't for me once I actually was doing it. But then I kind of opened up another door for me, which is where I am now. So
absolutely. And I know we'll get to talk about that in a second, but going back to the beginning of things for Miss Kayla Morgan, how did you first get started in theater?
So it's been a long journey. I started as a dancer and low competition dancer all throughout elementary school, going to dance for 3 to 4 hours every night, every day of the week. That was my life. So then comes high school and middle school. I auditioned to be in the drama program and then I didn't get in. I was like, ugh, this sucks. but then they had a non-audition class. So then I did that and I was like, okay, you know what? Who cares if I auditioned and didn't get in? It doesn't matter if you audition and like you don't get in or you don't get the part that you want. Like, that's where I started to kind of learn, like, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to show up as yourself.
Well, and what a beautiful lesson to be learning so early.
Yes. And like, I think I was probably more naive at the time and more sad about it, but looking back now, like, you know, I still had that little motivation in me, whether I knew it or not at the time, but to keep going no matter if I made it or if I didn't.
Yeah.
If I liked it, that's all that mattered. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of performance in high school too. I was more in like introducing my voice to the world. I hadn't really sung very much and I was very insecure about my voice. So I started some singing lessons and I did a lot of fun shows in high school. We did Legally Blonde my freshman year.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it was great. I loved being in the ensemble. I'm an ensemble
Well, and
girl.
also Legally Blonde is like, I can imagine one of the most like crazy and challenging, but also like so rewarding and hysterically fun ensembles to be in.
Much fun. I mean, you're doing like 10 different tracks. It was
Oh,
insane.
yeah.
So I really had fun doing that. We did Seussical, was Miss Little Maisie LaBird.
Yes, you were.
We did Sweet Charity.
Ooh, that's a fun one.
That was fun. I was Helene, I think, one of the backup girls, which was fun. And junior year, I did Millie. I was
Ooh.
Millie that year.
Had you done tap
And
coming up to that?
oh yeah, I'm a big tap dancer. So that was fun and challenging. I definitely was scared still about singing,
Totally.
but I definitely conquered fears in that experience. That was a really special one. I got to do a lot of fun things in the community afterwards with,
Oh, fun.
we just had like local award shows and such. So we did a lot of those with it. I really, that was a blast. And I got to go to like a Broadway workshop camp based off that like performance in New York
Yeah. Was that with like
after that.
was
So
that the Jimmies or was that like a different like system of
no. So it they used to do this award show, they used to do the Jimmys, but then they were like, we've been getting feedback from our people that we've been sending that, it's a little intense sometimes. Like, we don't know if we want to be, we would rather send our people to a workshop where they're going to grow and maybe meet some agents and like practice rather than really stress them out, which is what the feedback they were kind of getting was from the Jimmy.
Gotcha. Oh, okay,
So that
gotcha.
was my experience, which was really, it was very, very nice. Yeah. And then senior year, we did the Music Man, and that was a
Oh,
blast too.
who'd you play in the Music Man?
I was Zenita Shin.
I was hoping you were gonna say
Yeah.
that because that's such a great role for
Egads.
you.
Yeah. Oh,
Egads, I love
that was
that.
like probably my favorite role that I played in high school, to be honest. It was
Absolutely.
just silly. It was like, what are we
It's
doing?
so goofy. It's so
Yeah.
goofy. That's so much fun. So I'm wondering then, and
Yeah.
also this is just like the theme of the show. What was that overture moment for you? That light bulb of like, oh, I think I actually want to pursue theater in my career. And granted, that could be for you going into theater because you were arts admin right from the get-go. So I could maybe hear about that journey, or if you wanted to talk about the industry you're working in now, feel free to like dissect that question however you'd like because it could go in so many different
Okay.
ways.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to dissect here.
Yeah.
Because I think my path has gone like duh, 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 duh,
Yeah.
which I know is pretty normal. So I think when I first started realizing, hey, maybe I could like do this for a career was Millie. That
Yeah.
experience, I was like, it gave me confidence. It gave me like, it letting go of the expectations and what I thought I had to be. But if I keep working on myself, keeping working on my practice, then maybe I can do this. So college auditions came around, and I don't know what I was really thinking in college
I don't think any of
auditions.
us knew, like,
Yeah,
frankly.
I'm applying to three schools, and I really wanted to go to Wagner. If I don't
Yeah.
get into those, I'm gonna do community college and then figure it out from there. So I only got into Wagner,
You know what?
which was
Honestly, that sounds
perfect.
healthier than like a lot of what some of us had gone through auditioning for like seven or eight schools, like
I didn't feel like there were a lot of resources like that I was
Same.
even aware of to
Yeah.
like audition for schools, like having a coach or all those things.
Yeah,
Like,
no.
I had no clue people did that at the time. So, I didn't actually get, I auditioned for Wagner. I didn't get into the theater performance track program, but they were like, hey, we have this other cool major. It's called Arts Admin. You should do it. I'm like, okay. Going with like my administrative mind, I was like, you know, maybe this is something really cool. So I can always still perform. Like I knew I wanted to do a dance minor. I was like, if I want to re-audition for the program, I'll reassess about halfway through the year and see if I want to do that. I didn't end up re-auditioning. I was like, I think there's a lot to learn in the arts administration track in terms of marketing, which I was interested in terms of finance, in terms of, I mean, management. Like, there's so much to learn. And I thought, you know, if I have the access to learning these things, which are more challenging to really be professional in on your own, let me study this. And then if I can practice on my artistic side on the side, which I know a lot of people are like, no, you have to only like, if you want to do performance, like that has to be it. But I like to do lots of things, so my
I
brain
think,
never worked like that.
well, and that's also great to hear because I feel like more and more we're now starting to unpack that idea and realizing, oh, wait, we don't have to just like give 100% to the performing thing all the time, because like a guest that I had recently, my friend Emma Rose, she's a props designer but also a performer. So in the middle of audition season, she's like working on props for a show up north. Like, and I think we forget to give ourselves the room to explore that aspect, and that you could fully be an administrator but also continue performing.
Exactly. And I think it all comes down to time management. And like, that is something that I'm working on because I feel like I've been personally just as of late very disconnected from the my personal artistic creative side, performance wise. Like, I really like, I have all these ideas of dance pieces I want to film, and like I've had them written down for years now, and like still just haven't dedicated the time to do it. So that is something now that I am, that's a goal of mine to like really tap into that passion more because it doesn't go away. Whether you choose another path or whatever, you could be literally like a bank, like I don't really know jobs at the bank, but
A
like a
teller, who
bank teller
knows?
or something. Yeah. And you could still like you could do whatever you want on your other time. So as long as you're happy is what I've been learning. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing on the day to day. If you are reaching towards your goals, reaching towards your dreams, enjoy what you do. That's all that
Absolutely, wholeheartedly. Taking us to church right
matters.
there. I love that. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for all
Yeah. Thank
that.
you.
And thank you for
You're very
dissecting that
welcome.
question, dissecting that question, because I know it was a lot, but it's always so fun to
Yeah.
hear the answers about like when you realized, oh, this is the thing that I want to pursue. And especially when your path goes in so many different directions, like it can be hard to sometimes go back and be like, now, why am I here? Why did I do this? But it's also really special to go back and think about it as well. And we've talked about
It
some favorite shows that you've gotten to work on, like in high school as a performer. You did a lot of like dance project and things in college. So I'm curious, were there any favorite performances you got to do in college that really informed you as an artist?
Yes. I choreographed senior year. There was supposed to be a fourth or like third, no, second slot show, and then it got all mixed around. They're like, we're gonna do a dance show, and I'm like, cool, can I choreograph? Like,
You're
I
like,
would
can I do
love, I was like, I would love to be part of this, and they're like, yes, but it was a very like devised kind of creation of what we're gonna produce. So Wagner brought in, oh my gosh, this is really jogging my memory,
No, that's okay.
like
Take your
three or
time.
four other people to come and choreograph pieces. I think there were four choreographers and one overall director. And you know, this is really bad too. I'm gonna forget the name of the show,
That's
but
okay.
I'll give you the concept. It was kind of like a post COVID pandemic, which it didn't really feel like post yet. But just post like where we are now, you know, like where we were in that moment, reacting to what we had just experienced for however long before then. So I really wanted to hone in on the human experience and take that as an inspiration and like going back to our roots. What do we need to do as humans to survive? What is the cycle that we go through? What are our relationships with ourself? What is our relationship with our close peers? And what is our relationship with our community? So I explored that through three pieces that I mushed all together. And I really brought a lot of things back to breath and movement, which I am very, very inspired by. I love breath. Also brings me to my yoga background and journey. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Take your time.
Incense and a little too steamy in here. That was the first time I really felt free in my creative expression. And I'm like, that is something that I am just the most proud of. Like, I felt like I created a bond between my cast, which, like, that's hard to do sometimes, but doing it from a perspective of I'm one of their peers, so I need to also get respect in this situation in order to get stuff done. And I felt like I did a good job at that. And I love like writing everything down. I love writing my dance notations.
I'm very
So
much the same way.
yeah. Even like having that book with all the erase marks on it at the end, like that's just so satisfying. And it's like if I ever like I felt like I did it, you know? So that is definitely the thing that I am most proud of, and I think that I really conveyed a beautiful message that anyone could relate to. So,
And and part of me's like, oh, I want to go watch it right now because I just need to see some like yummy, delicious movement. So hopefully you have videos or something somewhere and I can
I
check them out at some
do.
point.
I
Because that
do.
sounds lovely. But yeah. And of course you worked on a lot of shows as a member of production and as an administrator. So were there any, what kind of production stood out to you memorably that you worked on, like admin wise or production wise?
Yeah, I did a lot of different roles on shows. I
Between
was
tech
like, just do it
assignments
all.
and
Like,
like
you know, I actually only did one tech assignment. I don't know. I mean, I didn't
well,
have to
'cause
do
yeah,
enough,
you were arts
but
admin, so you didn't have to.
yeah. So, but hey, I did a lot of stage management. I was on the stage management team a lot. I was only the stage manager once, but I loved being the ASM. I felt like I had a lot to learn on that side of production and theater. So I was kind of just taking and soaking as much in from other people and those experiences. I also did some assistant directing, but I'll pick one. Sorry, I'm rambling.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Lovesick. Lovesick was a blast. I was the ASM for that, and that was also a great group of people. We
Well,
had a
because Mickey
lot
directed
of
that, right?
Mickey directed, and then Alyssa Saylor was stage manager, sorry.
Oh, Sailor is incredible.
Love Saylor. Like, so that was really fun. I learned a lot from them, which was really I cherish that experience a lot. And John Caryani came in
I saw
to a
that and I was like,
rehearsal one
what the heck?
time. Yeah, so that was like the coolest thing ever because I mean, that's why we all go to school out there and like we want to make those connections. We want to meet people that are working in the industry or the people that wrote the things that we are performing or working on. So that was a really special moment in that whole experience as well.
I love that. And I ask all of these questions about the favorite shows you've worked on and things like that because I'm curious what you think your like experience in performance has done to help you become a, like an a better administrator, whether it be on like theater related things or not theater related things.
Yeah, I think that tapping or dipping my toes into these different pieces and like starting as a performer helped me to understand everything. And I still don't understand everything, but I understand more of it. And I think no matter where you come from on the side of theater, you're gonna, I mean, that'll be your route, but you get to, it helps you to understand these other positions that you're gonna develop into as you go. So my experience being a performer helped me to understand being on the side of company management and like, what would I think as the performer getting this contract? Am I going to read the whole thing? Am I going to have to send a reminder? What am I thinking? Like, what thinking from the mind of someone in that position, someone in that role who regularly practices that, or yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've always been a huge proponent of like I think sometimes some of the best like directors have been like previous dancers or previous actors or whatever be it, because when you're like dipping your toes, as you were saying, like into all the different things, that just makes you a better, well-rounded theater artist to begin with. And I think that totally speaks to that thought that I have personally.
Yes, it does. I agree with you.
And I know this is something we wanted to talk about, so let's delve into it now. One thing we wanted to talk about was theater burnout. We've been talking about so much like, oh my gosh, all this theater things that we love and things like that. However, theater burnout is very, very real, and it's not something that just performers go through.
Yeah. Would love to talk about this. I think it's something that it's good that it's being talked about more. But I still think there could be more conversation on it because I mean, we have a cycle here. We have problems getting funding, with a lot of artistic endeavors, which leads to less compensation when you're working in these roles, but you're also working more hours. And it's like you're watering a plant with an empty jug. Like, and it puts you in a very difficult position because when you care so much about the creative element, like when those external things start to affect that creative element, your passion, it hurts. I mean, and it's like, I thought this was my purpose. I thought this was my passion. And sometimes there are things that happen in the world that, I mean, you don't really have control over sometimes. I experienced some major burnout. Right after college, I graduated last May and I was working at Bespoke Theatricals as an intern. So I was doing a lot of really cool stuff. I felt very, very valued in the company, even though I was just an intern. I think I learned a lot from that. I know I learned a lot. So I didn't really feel a lot of burnout from that. But then I worked at a summer stock, and summer stocks are really difficult. It's hard for people to get into a summer stock. There seems to always be like some sort of, I mean, in anything that you do, it's about who you know, not what you know, a lot of the time. But sometimes that really just got in the way with things. And funding was just a major issue. And being on the company management side, I was also diving into some general management responsibilities. And here I am living with all the staff members, but being on a side and asked questions about overall finance things that I don't have any control over. I know about them, but I can't. So I have a lot about that experience that just really kind of dampered my drive. And I was working 12-hour days and I was getting a weekly stipend. And like, that's not livable.
No, it's not.
It's not livable. You don't feel respected. You lose a sense of confidence and self-worth. And nobody should feel that. Nobody
No.
should feel that when you are putting your heart and soul into everything and like you want to see something succeed so strongly. So that is where I was like, what am I gonna do after this
Yeah.
contract is over? And I was like, maybe I should stay in entertainment, but try a different field because maybe like the music industry. So I was talking to people on some other Wagner alums, like who are working in Nashville and trying to connect with people in LA because I had come back home as well. So I also felt really disconnected from that Broadway community, which is a whole other thing,
Yeah.
making theater more accessible in other areas of
Of
the
the
country. And
world.
I mean, I'm not
Yeah.
one to speak like the world, yes. And like, I know I'm in L like close to LA, but it nothing's the same as
Oh,
New
yeah.
York for the most
100%.
part. Like, so I was feeling very stuck, and like, here I am with a passion that feels like it's been dying, and I have no clue what to do, and I've just got a degree in this. So, experience at the Summer Stock, I made a connection with my boss, and he texted me one day and was like, do you want to make this X amount of money and fly yourself out to Boston next week for this job? And I'm like, I feel really helpless right now. Yes. Like, I'm just sitting here looking for jobs and I don't know what I'm doing. Which I think is a very normal thing to feel in theater as it
Yes.
is, because you're going in cycles of like having a job, not having a
Having a
job.
job.
And
Yeah.
this is when I started to realize like maybe that part of it isn't for me.
Yeah.
Because I really want more stability, and that's some, I mean, that's a conversation that everyone is thinking about in themselves and with their friends on the daily most of the time. But I also, because I had that tough experience, wanted to prioritize self-care and like time for myself, time to breathe, time to do things that I want to do, time to spend time with family. So I ended up doing this gig for this company, and I had no clue what I was doing going out there, but that's the theater mindset, you know, you just roll with it
You're like, I'll figure
sometimes.
it out
Exactly. So we showed up, and I was essentially at what they call a zone lead, and it was a conference for this medical company, about 3,000 people, and I was stationed on the floor, and this sounds so exciting. I was on
I get there. No,
the
go for it.
I was lead for a floor and making sure people knew where they were going and helping out with any directionals or making sure that the rooms were set as they were supposed to and making sure AV came in time and all these different things. But then I also got to help with the evening event, and it was like Alice in Wonderland themed, and they had all these different installations, and they had acrobats and all these lights
Oh
and
my
colors and
gosh.
food. It was crazy. I found out they had a full-time position open, and I applied, and then that's where I'm working now. So I realized that I kind of fell in love with it still has this theatrical element
Yeah.
and planning and having that administrative side of things, but it's creative, and it's also like I get to travel. I get to go do these things that I've always wanted to do. I thought I wanted to tour. Like, I was looking at jobs
Yeah.
before, like going on tours, and like nothing was really landing. And I'm glad it didn't land because it's brought me where I am here now.
Yeah. Well, and what a beautiful way of coming and finding that. Like, of course, it had to be like the unfortunate position that you were in, working these crazy hours and not doing great, but then it also was that same job that got you this connection to lead you to where you are now. It's that crazy serendipitous thing that the universe does sometimes. And I think what you were saying about the kind of like disappointment and frustration that you feel when you face theater burnout, because you go like, I thought this is the thing that I loved. What am I gonna do? What a it you feel like dis you feel so disappointed and like kind of guilty in a way. And I think it's so beautiful though that you were able to take that love and passion and get to channel it into this new thing. And that's amazing. And so like lucky that you're able to find that.
Yes, thank you. And I think that's like one of the biggest lessons I've learned is that I mean, it's so cheesy, like when you get down, get back up, but find what you learned from that experience, channel what you actually want, and find like it will come to you. Like you don't have to like tumble and turn trying to find it. It will come. And like you, the hard work has to be there. The motivation does have to be there. But what you put out into the world will come back is kind of what I've been rolling with. So
Yeah, absolutely. And this may apply to you and this may not. But I think what's beautiful about finding like these new pathways that you can like channel these passions or similar passions is that you always have to have the opportunity to go back to theater if you so desire. We have to remind ourselves that it doesn't always have to be so concrete. By having these
yes.
similar pathways, we can still have the love for both. But and so if we want to go back and do a little more theater, we can. Or if you want to do this other thing, you can also do that.
Exactly. That mindset is gold. It will take you
Yes.
places. Like,
Yes,
that goes
absolutely.
back to like, do what makes you happy now. If this is not what makes you happy now, find something else.
Yes.
Nobody's holding you there. No one is.
No.
So I
Give yourself a
100%
break.
agree with that statement.
It
Yes,
comes back to self-care.
great. It all
Truly.
comes back to self-care.
Always. Who would
I
have
think,
thunk?
I know, like the easiest thing that we think is really the hardest. I think that is something, just work-life balance. It's so different too, I will say, when you work for a company that pushes you to take time off, pushes you to like
I'm sure that was
take
shocking.
time for yourself. I know, I was like, what?
You're like, what are you
Like,
talking about?
I'm like, PTO? What is this?
You're like, what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So takes out the like the always have to be working concept too of, I mean, yes, you do have to have that drive, but in order to get there, you have to recharge. You know, there's no
Yeah,
other
because
way to be successful.
if you keep running on a low battery, like you
Yeah.
can't, quite literally, you can't keep doing it in that way. I'm so it's you're the way you were describing the global event management industry as you so well put it in your bio. It's so cool how much this encompasses, and I feel like we don't know what this industry is like at all. Because like you were saying,
Yeah.
during the day it's like, okay, like we have these panels, these conferences, but then at night, yeah, these crazy cool creative events. And I'm sure that in many ways it's so similar to what you've previously done, but then I'm sure there's also some differences too.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you. This, I had no clue that this even existed. I mean, you always think like, I don't know. I don't know. But essentially, I guess I could give you a little bit more of what I do and how it
Yeah, I would love
kind of
to hear
goes
about
in the other realms of how theater taps into this experience. So I'm a conferences and events coordinator. So I am put on, I have a team that is like my base team, and we're part of an agency. So we're hired by outside companies like Amazon, Google, Moderna, companies like that. But also, my agency does things where they're doing special events for the NFL, they're doing special events for the Olympics. Really cool
That's
stuff.
cool.
And it's a family-owned company still. It's
Oh my
privately held, but it's
gosh.
been around for almost 100 years.
Wow.
So, like, I love that aspect to it as well. But to go back to my main point, I'm on like a smaller team, and then that team gets picked and like moved around, and you're put on different shows. So you're always working with new people. You have a home base, which is really comforting. I actually just got back from my first like true on site yesterday. So
Welcome back.
that was like, thank you. And it was like beautiful. We were at Terranea Resort and Rancho Palos Verdes, right on the beach. I had time to go bike riding and do
Love that.
things with the team. So it was like, it was fun, that part of it. But the theater element, we are managing the entire show. We are down to every minute. whatever session is happening, we're working with the client to discuss like, hey, this is our content. This is what we want in the schedule. This is our agenda. We're making that happen. We're putting the room sets together. I work a lot on the payment side, making sure people get paid, making sure that shipments are arriving on time, that they're going out properly. I do a handful of random things kind of in this role. But
as assigned.
That's fun. It keeps it really exciting. And I do have creative times as well where I get to help work on signage or keeping, we have like a master playbook for every show. So it's the Bible. It's our script. Like,
yeah,
it's in there. Then you're pulling in the tech elements too. Mm-hmm. So lighting, sound, rigging, everything, like that whole side of theater is pulled into this as well. So, yeah.
What a beautiful mesh of all of it.
It's amazing. I truly, really love my job. I love the people that I'm working with. I feel inspired and I feel like engaged. I feel creative. I feel like there's so many good things about this industry for me because I get that theatrical element, but I get time to travel, take care of myself, and, you know, be a normal human, which I feel like I really wasn't getting before in my other experiences. So
totally.
Yeah.
And one of the many amazing creative things that you do is that you also like have an Etsy page where you embroider that ginger stitch. And that's crazy because I remember you embroidering even back during your freshman year at Wagner. Like you did these beautiful little embroidered shirts for everybody when we did that play at Wagner. And it was so beautiful. So when did you start the Etsy page?
That actually started that year.
Oh, really?
Actually, well, I didn't make my Etsy page until, I think 2019, summer.
Yeah.
But I mean, my grandma is a seamstress and she sews quilts. So I've always been like surrounded by fiber arts, but nobody in my family really is embroidered. So I started off by making a gift for someone and embroidered a hat. And then everybody was like, these are cool. Like, do you want to make our shirts? I'm like, I've never done this before, but sure, I'll try it. Really just kind of developed from there. I love thrifting. I'm a big thrifter, secondhand. Always been. So I love to repurpose clothes as well. Yeah. So it's hard because it does come in waves when I have time to do things, which doesn't feel like a lot.
Yeah.
But we try our best and, you know, get things done when I can. And I love doing just random things.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite projects that you've done?
Yes. My favorite project is the 19 poses for the 19th Amendment in honor of Martha Graham and women's rights. So I made 19 poses.
I think we had Modern together. I just now put that together.
Oh, I think we did too. Modern One, right?
Yeah.
Was it Modern One?
I think so, with Carissa.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, I miss her.
I do too. I think it's so funny that I just now remembered that. But no, that's perfect though. Yes, I remember you doing those pieces and those were beautiful.
Thank you. I'm so proud of that collection. I sold it as a collection, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do, but that was also a really cool moment. Just like getting to talk to the person who purchased it. And like, I love sharing pieces that I'm passionate about in that sort of realm. I obviously like to do the custom orders too, but there's more creative freedom when you get to do something that comes from your own idea. So
yeah, Absolutely.
I love
And of
it.
course, I'll put like links to like the Insta and the Etsy for that page like in the description below afterwards, so people can go check it out and look at the other pieces that you've done because they're just gorgeous and people need
Thank
to buy
you.
your embroidery. And then it's I'm like, oh my gosh, we've chatted so much and it's beautiful and I love it. And I want to make sure we talk about the fact that you completed your 200-hour yoga certification, teacher certification. Congratulations. That is such a huge accomplishment.
Thank you. It really
Absolutely.
was. It was a long time coming. I mean, dance background. I just care about bodies and like health of bodies, but didn't really realize the benefits until late, a little bit later. But I originally started doing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was gonna ask, was yoga something you had started in college or like way before?
Yoga, I didn't really start until college, sophomore year. I was home for like winter break or something. I was like, I just want to find something to keep my body moving and like feel good going into like dance classes next semester. So I found a hot yoga studio and I was like, okay, I don't know, we'll try this out. And did a 2 week Groupon, like
I
every day I went to class.
love
And
that.
boy, it was like, so I don't, do you know anything about hot yoga?
I know that it's very much warm in the studio and you're sweating your freaking balls off, but other than that, I like. Other than that principle and it being yoga, I'm not sure if there's something more to it that I don't know about.
So there's a lot of benefit to being in the heat that I also didn't really tap into until my training and later on. So I've been doing it for, I guess, about 3 years now. Very good for your skin, very good for your heart rate, blood circulation. And yes, it does kind of feel like you're gonna pass out sometimes, but that's when you come back to the breath. Once you come and connect, like truly connect with your breath and go internal, like you're smooth sailing. It's challenging, but in a great way. The humidity is like at 50%, and then heat is usually at 99 or a little bit over 100.
That's
So
steam. That's very steamy.
steamy, but and it is a body shock. Like I tell people when they first start taking classes, just lay on your mat. Like there's no judgment. I lay on my mat still for classes because I'm like, I just need to stay here because this is the only way I'm going to be able to connect with my breath. Yoga is not about the movement. It's not about the cool tricks. It is about your breath and it is about that internal connection.
No,
So,
truly, corpse pose is
yeah.
very, very lovely in those
The most
moments. Like,
important
just
pose. Yeah.
it is, and I think that, and like I definitely feel this like in dance too. It's like reminding yourself about breathing is so hard. And for people who don't take dance or do movement and that kind of thing, they're like, what do you mean? It's just breathing. Like, what are you talking about? But I think we forget how beneficial it is when it's intentional and purposeful breathing.
Yeah. I mean, there's like so many different kinds of breath too. Like there's in and out through the nose, your Ujjayi breath. It's going to build heat in the body versus a box breath, which is going to calm you down. A triangle breath, like breath of fire. Like there's so many different kinds of breath and like I could go off
No, you're
things that
good.
you can connect to when you need something specific. So
And
yeah, it's been really fun.
I'm so glad. And I'm trying to remember, this isn't your first time necessarily getting certified to teach something, right? You've also done 305 Fitness.
Yeah, I have. I've never actually taught a 305 class, I will be completely honest, but I
That's
did do the
fair.
training
But
and
hey,
it
that's
was
huge.
so much fun. I like just learning how to control a room and like get people feeling good and excited
Because
is
that's
also
very
just like,
dance-based, right?
yeah, it's dance cardio. It's so much fun. I actually did like a Team Mojo thing with my coworkers and we streamed a 305 class together and did it all on Zoom, which was fun. But yeah,
That's a blast.
I love just getting the body moving and bringing people together through movement.
Yeah.
So any way that I can find to do that, I will.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like there's always such a big difference between practicing an art and teaching it. So I'd love to know, like, what helped you decide to get your teaching certification? I mean, obviously for the dance one, but also specifically yoga, since you like have now completed that.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to, one, just learn more about the roots, learn more about the postures, the health benefits. But there was also a sense of self-discovery in learning how to teach. I mean, there's a way of learning. Well, in teacher training, a lot of the time, they have moments where you're sharing like personal things, and you have to learn to be vulnerable with the group that you're with. And that was something I was really looking forward to, because I decided I was going to do this training when I got this job as well. I was also like, it was very just like, lack of purpose. Like I felt a lack of what I wanted to do. And this was something close to movement and dance that I was like, I know I'm going to love this. Like I have to do it. So that's what brought me to want to teach it, really. And yeah, I taught my first full class to like a full room of students last week, which was really epic.
Oh, that's so exciting. I love that.
I just like helping people too, in the sense of like, oh, my lower back hurts. What can I do to fix this? Or I can't reach my foot in this pose. What can I do? I love like talking to people and helping them get through that.
No, that's some of my favorite stuff. Cause I remember like going up to Carissa at the end of dance class being like, my muscle does this funny thing when I do this. Why and how? Yeah. Why can I do that? And she's like, hold on, wait, let's talk about this. What's going on? So I love that you enjoy getting into that nitty gritty kind of stuff, because there are like those students like me and others out there who is just like, okay, how do I do this thing? And having someone being like, yeah, let's figure it out together is so amazing and so special. So I'm so glad that there are going to be so many who have a teacher like you to get to like chat with and all that good stuff. And
so
it's crazy.
Thank you.
Of course. And it's, I always say this, it's crazy that we're already at the end, but it's true. We're here. We're at the end of the episode. Where can people find you on social media and that kind of thing?
Social media. Oh my goodness. I'm not really on Facebook, but
yeah, that's okay.
Instagram is like my juju. So my Instagram, like, handle is Kayla with an extra A at the end. That's not how I spell it. dot Morgan. And then my embroidery Instagram is that Ginger Stitch. It's also that Ginger Stitch on Etsy. I don't really have that much posted on there right now, but you can take a look and I'll ship it to you.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it gives people a sense of like what you do embroidery wise, and you do some really cool, beautiful stuff. So yeah, people should
check that out.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram. I don't know necessarily how long I'll be on Twitter. They just got rid of the whole verification thing, and I feel like the app is falling apart a little bit, but you know, that's okay. And for those who have been watching for a little while, I've been going back and forth, and I finally made a TikTok. I did it. I did the thing. I haven't posted much. I'm still trying to figure it out. And quite honestly, I only downloaded it to do stuff with overtures. I'm going to post here and there a little bit other things too. But that is also Laura_Marjoram. I pulled that up just to like double check that I was going to say the right thing. But yeah, I made a TikTok. I still don't know what I'm doing. I have time limits on all my apps. I'm trying to be better about that. But connection wise, you can find me in all those places, and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show, and on YouTube, just search Overtures Show. Subscribe, comment, join us live. I love having people chat live and saying hello and asking questions. You can watch and listen to episodes on Spotify and Apple Music. So if you missed an episode, you can listen on the go. And then we also have a Ko-fi page. So if you feel so inclined to donate a coffee of sorts to the page, it just helps me keep this show running and talking to wonderful guests like Kayla, and bringing more on lovely people to chat with. Kayla, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
Nothing too crazy, just, you know, follow the happiness. Don't feel like if you're stuck that it's the end of the world. There's always going to be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna leave it at. Thank you so
Absolutely.
much,
No,
Laura.
thank you so much. I'm so happy that we got to catch up and all that good stuff. But we will see you all later, and thanks so much for tuning in. Bye, everyone.